Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. I'm going to continue today to look at Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. In these days standing between last Sunday, the celebration of the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father, where he in his own person, he took your humanity and mine into the glory of God the Father. And in that, he's sharing in, the Catechism reminds us, the power and authority that belongs to God and the kingdom of God and the reign of God, which Jesus proclaimed on this earth, is now unfolding by the power of Jesus, who sits on the throne now as king over all creation. That is just so amazing. Friends, it's worth asking the Holy Spirit in these days to help you see Jesus, the King and Lord of all. To just beg the Father, Father, show me in the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus? I mean, St. Francis used to kneel down almost daily and pray these simple prayers. God, who are you and who am I? It's a great prayer. Father, what have you done in Jesus? Help me see Jesus. And what does Jesus want of me? Pentecost is a great time to get a hold of what Jesus wants of you and what he wants of me. And so I'm going to pick up yesterday roughly where I left off. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start with today, verse 22. Prior to that, we saw apostles in obedience to Jesus waiting in the upper room. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses throughout Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So this outpouring of the Spirit is the fulfillment of what Jesus told them, the apostles, he would do and what they would need. They need his power. They need the king's power to be able to get free from sin, to be able to have a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, to love God as Jesus loved him and love our neighbor as Jesus loves us, and to give us the courage, the zeal, the words, and the anointing to proclaim the great works of God and to offer salvation to the world through the preaching of the gospel, like Jesus told them they were to do. They were going to be commissioned by the Spirit to go proclaim repentance of sin, repentance and forgiveness of sins, that mercy has come on the world. And this is why the Catholic Church exists, to bring a sinful world and a sinful nations under the authority of Jesus Christ, to bring them to the place where they repent, that is, turn from sin, turn to God, to be baptized, and to be put to death in baptism, just like Jesus being united to the cross of Jesus Christ, the instrument of God's surgical freedom that leads us to freedom. You know, the great surgeon, through the cross, he gives us a new heart. He takes away our sin. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and he raises us from baptism. So this is what this is all about. So Peter now, he began to preach. After the Spirit came on him, they were stirred, tongues of fire came upon them, the mighty wind was blowing, and they began to proclaim the great works of God, and people from all kinds of nations who were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, Jews from every nation were present, and in the tongue they were speaking, they all heard the apostles preaching in their own native tongue, that is, the tongue of the receiver. The apostles didn't know those languages. They were just proclaiming the great works, and a miracle happened. That's also tied to the Tower of Babel, the chaos of man's raising a tower and building a tower to God, you know, to the heavens, and relying on his own understanding. And all it did was create confusion. All it did was divide. God unites, and his king and his kingdom is what unites. And that's what's happening there in Acts chapter 2 as they began to preach. And Peter says in verse 17, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." This is the fundamental culmination of Jesus' entire mission, to pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. And friends, don't forget, every single human being needs this new creation. It's not an automatic. We don't already have it in us just by virtue of the fact that we're human. We're all fallen and separated from God, and we stand in need of salvation. And salvation is this very thing: having our sins forgiven, being baptized into Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit, entering the church, and engaging in the Master's mission. That's what it means to be saved. And ultimately, the full saving is entering into heaven and sharing in Jesus' glory. will become, as St. Peter said, partakers of the divine nature. Verse 22, chapter 2, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. So he's saying, I'm talking to you what's happening to us, because people were startled and shocked by what they saw in the apostles, that some great power was upon them. They thought they were drunk, even, you know, that they were behaving so differently. And Peter said, this is what this is about. The prophetic anticipation of our people, the people of Israel, the coming of the Holy Spirit, fulfilled in the prophecy of Joel, that the Spirit of God would be poured on all flesh. This is what you see right here. This is what the Spirit on human flesh looks like. This is what it looks like. He goes on to proclaim Jesus and to begin to declare the mighty works of God. That's what the Holy Spirit wants everybody in the church to do. Tell the world of the mighty works of God. Not just be pious and be good, that's important, but to get after and follow in the footsteps of the apostles and tell everyone the great deeds the Lord has accomplished. And that proclamation includes this. Peter said, I'm talking to you about Jesus of Nazareth, the one you know, you've put through trial, you crucified him and you killed him, but I'm here to tell you, he goes on to say, God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Here we're getting to the central core. When we talk about the great deeds of God, this is the greatest deed of God ever. It's bigger than the Red Sea. It's bigger than everything. Nothing will ever surpass this. God's beloved Son was raised up. The Father raised up his beloved. The Father raised his beloved and faithful Son. And he was so happy to receive him back home and to give him everything. Everything belongs to Jesus. The Father delights to give everything to the Son. And the Son's ruling and reigning in total, absolute, unapproachable power. That's Jesus. And Peter goes on, I'll read this wonderful line again, but God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You see what's being revealed here is that your great enemy and mine, death, the great enemy, man, is being brought under subjection to God's power, and it's being conquered. And in the person of Jesus, in his humanity even, death couldn't hold him down. He could hold everybody else down. Death could dominate everyone else and turn us into, you know, dust and ashes, food for worms. But what Jesus, death could not hold him down. There's an entirely new reality at work in Jesus, the power of an indestructible life. It's our ruler. It's our king. He's destroying. He's swallowing up death in victory, is what Peter's saying. And Peter goes on to talk about, you know, King David's prophecy. But for time's sake, I want to just get to the last main section here, because it's right at the core of who the church is and the message we proclaim. In verse 20, it says, brethren, I may say to you confidently of the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his own descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So the words of David was anticipating the throne of David would reign forever, right? But he would reign not in himself, but he was anticipating the coming reign of Jesus, God's Son, who would reign eternally at the right hand of the Father. So now Peter sets it up, and in verse 32 he says, this Jesus, the one he's talking about, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Luke here, the author, could take us back to Luke 24, the gospel, where Jesus appears to the apostles in the upper room after the resurrection. And he unfolds for them, he unpacks what the prophets were anticipating the Messiah would suffer. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And so Jesus interprets it for them so they can understand it. Then he says to them that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again. And he said, you are witnesses to these things. And you're going to be my witnesses. I'm going to send you forth and under my Holy Spirit so you proclaim who I am and what you've seen and what you've heard. So again, verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear. Peter's interpreting for everybody present and for you and for me what Jesus did not only on Pentecost, but what he continues to do throughout history until he comes again in glory. Where is Jesus? He's exalted at the right hand of God. What does that phrase mean? It means he's come into all power and authority. It's all been given to him by God the Father. He's now the ruler and king of all. I think it's, what is it, the book of Revelation calls him the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. There's not a principality or power. There's not a dominion. There's not a king. There's not a nation. Everything is subject to Christ. Human beings can resist him, but they will all be subject to his judgment. And those who reject him will be condemned, and those who receive him will come into his reign. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear. Again, Luke 24, Jesus said, I will give you the promise of my Father. The great promise of the Father, the great promise of God's mercy for the world is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there really a sharing in the love that exists between the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead? Verse 34, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a stool for your feet. So here's the culmination right here of the preaching of the apostles and what's called the kerygma. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus is the one, friends. The only future that's worth living in the human race, for the human race, is the future that Jesus Christ offers us, a share in what belongs to him. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it is. That's the core. That's the central reality of Christianity and what the church is called to extend to the world. Friends, open your heart these days. Be filled with hunger and thirst for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit for you in this weekend. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.